I'm not going to sing with her, but she's got a song she wants to sing. She'll sing without me anyway.
I'm going to do that. Well, I thank the Lord for the cross. If it wasn't for the cross, there would be no salvation. So thank God for saving me. He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. One day I came to him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. Now there's a river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God's throne above. And like a river, it dwells up inside of me, bringing mercy and life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, about it, he says, it is finished. I heard a song not too awful long ago, and it's been on my mind for a long time, and I cannot sing it, so don't worry about it. Don't get upset, okay? But he said, it is finished. That's a song, too. I just thought about that one. But this song, he didn't stop there. And I'm glad that, you know, when he died on Calvary's cross for our sins, he said, it is finished. And how true that was. When it comes from the lips of our Savior, it's true. But you know, that then 3 days later, there's something great happened. And all of you know what it is. We're celebrating it today. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the time. But you know, the cross did not conquer him. And the grave did not keep him. And praise the Lord for that today. I'm so glad that God loves me, aren't you? I'm so glad today that we're here. But you know, we could be in heaven where we're going to spend eternity one day, and thank God for that. Well, I reckon that y'all are expecting the song or the chorus, so you want to sing it, I guess. Okay, let's make a beard out of you. this for a minute or two. Y'all about 6 foot apart most of you, so that's okay. All right, now. Smile wide and give your face a little. Lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile. Amen. Y'all getting better on that. Now, when you get where you can shake hands with each other, it'll be a whole lot better, won't it? I'll tell you, to me, fellowship is shaking hands, part of it, and enjoying the blessings of God together. That's fellowship for me, and I'm sure it is for you. Now, I felt like that I needed to preach a message about the crucifixion and also the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is wonderful. But had it not been for the cross, there wouldn't have been the resurrection. So both work together. And if one is important as the other one, as far as I'm concerned, it is. And I believe God's Word teaches that. But I'm going to start out this morning with John chapter 11, where John's friend Lazarus dies. This is a type of the death, burial, and the resurrection. So I want to share that with you, and then we're going to come on over to the John chapter something else, and I'll tell you in just a minute. But I'll have them all marked, and I'll just have them sometime another this morning. Now, in Jesus here in John 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent him to say, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Here she is saying that Jesus loves him. Surely Jesus loved him, and he also loves us today too. Thank God. He may not love our ways a lot of times, but he loves our soul. He loves our heart. He loves our being. And so we know that we have a Savior that loves us today, one that did a lot for us. And everything that's done, he allows, or either he does himself. Now, right here, it says that, "Therefore, sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. And the Bible said here in verse 4, it said, "When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Surely, the Lord should be glorified. In every aspect of our life, God should be glorified. He's done it all for every one of us. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go unto Judea again." His disciples said unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." Who did Jesus say he was? But he, if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Jesus tells us that he is the light of the world, does he not? These things say he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And then said Jesus unto him plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and his fellowship, let us go also go that we may die with him. Now from here on down a little ways, about verse 26 or so, we find that Martha's assurance is given to her of the resurrection. Now when Jesus came, he found that that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now that's unusual, isn't it? Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast seen that had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Mary said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Here he was talking to her, but he's talking to us also today, even 2,000 years later. And so he's telling us that I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which cometh into the world. You see, she was saying here that, you know, I believe, but I'm not quite sure. All right, that's what I get out of that. She was saying, I'm not sure. And when she said, so says, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Now, we're going to skip down a little bit for the sake of time. I know I can probably stay here till 2 or 3 o'clock, but maybe you want to go eat some like I do after a while. Okay? But let's start down to verse 34. Jesus already knew where they had laid him because Jesus knows all, does he not? All right? But he wanted to ask her. He says, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now here's the shortest one verse in the Bible. Two words. Jesus wept. What did that show us? It shows us that Jesus has compassion for a lost and dying world. He had compassion for Lazarus. He had compassion for Mary. He had compassion for Martha. Yes. And not only them, but he had it for the whole world. And some of them said, Could not this man, in verse 37, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Sure he could have. But he was doing it for a purpose. Everything God allows is for a purpose. And verse 43 says, And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Come alive! Isn't that what he said? Sure. So you see, Lazarus, that was dead, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. We today, I think sometimes we're bound by some things, are we not? We just don't seem to realize what God has done for us. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for our sin. That's enough to give anybody. But he went on farther than that. Praise the Lord. He turned his back on his own begotten Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Just because of one man's sin, sin is into this world, and through this one man's sin, sin has been passed on generation to generation. You see, getting worse every day. No matter what, it's getting worse every day. I don't care what people say, it's getting worse every day. Now, as we look at that, she sung that song a while ago, I thirst, surely. And when he was on the cross, we find that as he was thirsty, they set a vessel full of vinegar and filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Can you imagine that awful taste that he had, that awful feeling that he had, that he himself had loved us and cared for us, these people, and along with our sin, happened to him just like that. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Praise the Lord. You know what? We find that Joseph and Nicodemus buried Jesus here in verse 38 down through 42. And then in verse 43, we find that, chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible tells us the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. That's the first thing they saw, that the stone had been taken away. Surely the stone had been taken away. It was going just like God had planned it. That everything is going, as I said, for a purpose. God has a purpose for everything he allows or does. And here he was. As they looked, they ran, and it came to Simon Peter, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. They had not taken him out. He rose from the dead, and he's alive today. Let me say it again. He's alive today. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. We serve a risen Savior today, do we not? Well, a lot of us sometimes don't act like it, but we do. I know that people are, you know, in times that they worship the Lord, they worship in different ways. I realize that. And thank God that you do worship the Lord in spirit and truth. That's the main thing. Worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Do what he asks us to do in our Christian life. Now, they ran both together, and you know, then they found those linen clothes lying yet when he was not in. And he stooped down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying yet when he not in. Then we go on and says, then comes Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. You see, his linen clothes were there, but Lazarus was bound with his, wasn't he? There is a difference there. Yes, Lazarus came forth out of the grave. And I was doing that little song, part of it last Sunday. Ain't no grave gonna hold me down. That grave didn't hold Lazarus down. That grave did not conquer the Lord. He came up victorious. And we ought to not name this Easter Sunday. We ought to name it Victory Sunday. Because on that day, he came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. I might get holiness today. Is that all right? I praise the Lord for what God's done for me. And it's wonderful to know that Jesus Christ loves us even when we're so unlovable. You stop and think about it. Every one of us sitting here and standing here today are unlovable as far as our way that our body is concerned. We're just so unlovable, but Jesus loves us. He cares for us. No one ever cares for us like Him. And you know what? He cares for me, even with all of my problems and all of my sorrows and all of my thoughts and all of my sins and all of everything that comes along every day. He still loves me. He may not love my ways, but He loves me. And that makes the biggest difference in the world. Amen. There's a lot of people that can't love their neighbor, but I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. And if we love ourselves, we ought to love our neighbors, right? I tell you, we don't get up every morning and go without doing anything to our body, do we? I don't. I feel kind of dirty when I get up sometimes. I have to do a little washing off. It ain't nothing but washing my face to make me look a little bit better anyway. So what we're saying is that, you know, we think a lot of ourselves. But what about Jesus? He's the one that done it all for us. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that cares for us. Praise the Lord for that. And I don't even know where I was reading, but it don't make no difference on the ring. But it shows here the napkin that was about the head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And that shows that He came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Lazarus came up. Oh, he was still bound. What did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. They didn't have to tell Jesus that. No. You see, in the scripture, they must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. And Mary Magdalene was the next one that saw him. And when she saw him, Mary stood at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seen two angels in white apparel. The one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto him, to her, or them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus turned herself back, saw Jesus standing and knew that it was Jesus. You see, in some of the scriptures, they say that, you know, it says that they were on the road to Emmaus. There were some that were walking along there. They were talking about all of this. And, you know, Jesus came up. The Bible says that their eyes were beholden. They didn't know who He was. Mary here. I get Mary and Martha mixed up. I think it was Mary. And she, you know, I'll find it in a minute, after a while, anyway. Jesus said unto her, she turned herself and said unto him, there it is, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, I ascend, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. Then the Bible tells us that the disciples saw Jesus. Because there they were in the upper room. Jesus met with them and He said, Peace be unto you. And when He had showed them that, His hands and His side, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, that are remitted unto them, and those whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But you see, Thomas wasn't with them the first time. when he met with Jesus. But Thomas, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. No. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." You see, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, "Except I can see his hands, the print of the nail, put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were with them, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and not faithless. Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." You see, people, even the disciples, make statements that, you know, they cannot keep a lot of times about God. He couldn't keep it, could he? He didn't have to put his hands into his nail-scarred hands. No. He saw that it was Jesus. Jesus showed him here. Let me say to you today that Jesus will take care of things like this. He'll take care of it. He told me, he said, "Now, reach hither in thy finger, and behold my hand." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." He didn't have to, did he? Praise the Lord for that. "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." Here's what Jesus tells him. "Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Isn't it wonderful to know that we haven't seen Jesus through a natural eye, have we? But we can see him through an eye of faith and what God's word says, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is our Savior. He is our friend. He is the great I Am. He's all of those together. And he's victory for us today, is he not? Sure he is. And in a whole lot of places they met him. And there was right that Jesus met them there at the sea. There's other times that he met them in different other places. So we see that when Jesus came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave, we find that the devil was already, he was already beaten, wasn't he? We're the winners. We are the winners. We are victorious. It's not the devil. He's got his time coming. And the Bible says that we're going to stand before God and give an account. Every one of us. And I want us to look at Philippians chapter. I was reading this morning. I was reading my devotion. And Jesus gave himself for the church, didn't he? The bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ as a church. Well, let's act like it, okay? How many of you have got a book like this? Anybody? A devotion book. There's some good things in it. You can find one, grab a hold of it, okay? In Psalms 27, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is light, in my light, and my salvation." And surely he is. The churches should be the light of the world, should they not? I realize, and I'm going to use this church for an illustration. I realize that when people ride by here, they look out here, they can see a church building. But during the week, when nobody's here, or even if it is somebody here, can he tell that we are Christians? That person that comes by, are we part of the church? We claim to be, don't we? The Lord is our light and our salvation. And I got saved a long time ago, but I hadn't been perfect all the time. But thank God one day I am going to be perfect. I'm hard to get along with sometimes, she'll tell you that. I let things bother me that I shouldn't let bother me. Because I know deep down in my soul that Jesus takes care of all of it. He is the great I am. He's the one that can take care of every bit of it. I realize that deep down. But sometimes, you know, you let it get to your mind and let it mess up your mind a little bit, don't you? I know I'm not the only one like this. If I am, I'm going to go home right now. Are we? I know you're ready to go home. I am too in a little while. I don't know when I'm going, but I know one thing. He's going to take me one day. This is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger passing through this world. But you see, the church should be the light of the world. When a person sees you, and I believe most of you are like this, if not all of you. I think you are. I'm just making this statement to give you something to think about some others maybe that you've been praying for, and you could, maybe it'll be make you pray a little bit harder. I don't know. When people look at you, can they say, there goes a Christian? He looks like a Christian. He acts like a Christian. He dresses like a Christian. He smells like a Christian. He talks like a Christian. How about it? Sometimes, us living in this old sinful body, we let things slip a little bit, don't we? Well, let me ask you this. How many? Now, I want you to raise your hand if you can. How many of you here are perfect? Not one of us are. I know you couldn't raise your hand. That's a tricky question, you think, but I didn't mean for it to be tricky. I mean for us to think about it for a minute. Listen, we're coming down to the end. Church is the light of the world, and I don't know what else God's got, but I feel like God's got something for us. I really do. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, if you will. And I'll give you this and I'll quit, the Lord willing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. I want to read it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Who's saying here? We're living in a perverse nation, a crooked nation. Among whom we shine as lights in the world. You see, people murmur and they dispute. Unsaved people, they murmur and dispute. Children of God, they murmur and dispute. It reaches far beyond simple murmuring and disputing to an outright railing and loud contention. A simple look at news media or social media shows us this beyond doubt. We love to protect our rights. We hold to the thoughts and opinions which we hold dear. And the world as a whole, and even the Lord's churches, are more contentious than at any time in history. You think about it. We all should understand and believe that the local assembly of believers is a tool Jesus Christ Himself created to be the face of the Christian faith in a lost and dying world. God's church is both internally and in action with the world should be blameless and harmless and without rebuke. We are living in the middle of a crooked and a perverse nation, and that is clear. We have all heard the expression, have we not? You get more flies with honey than with vinegar. Do we not do that? Sure we do. And that's a true sin. Rather than writing and murmuring and disputing with this evil and perverse world, we need to be lights of truth and love shining in it. And no matter how hard we fight against the world, we all alone will never change it. And only the illumination of the love and salvation of Jesus Christ will do that. We, the churches, are that light. Are we shining it? With that thought in our mind, bow your head, close your eyes. I think about it so many times, and I realize that I may have got off on some other things today. But I know that as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we celebrate that, we're celebrating the right thing. Because Christ gave it all for us. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. This been Easter Sunday, and we ought to be calling it Victory Sunday. I'll say again, he lives within my heart, hopefully yours, and I think he does, but I know that there's things that come every day that we may not know what to do about, but God is the one we ought to look to. We ought to trust him for everything that we do, say, wherever how we act, or even how we act. And I'm here to tell you, all of us could stand and have a closer walk with the Lord. I don't care who you are. You're not above sin. You're still living in this world, and you're not above it. But I'm not saying that you do. I'm just saying that you're not above it. Be careful. Jesus loves you. Father, we thank you today for the privilege and opportunity that we've had to just try to bring a little bit of your word to these, our dear sweet people. And Lord, I pray for each one of them. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that every one of them would have your will done in their life. Lord, I pray that you'll help them, each one of us, including myself, Lord, to live closer to you than we ever have before. And when you do, Lord, come to get us, Lord, we go with you, and thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that we have a better place to go to. But Lord, while we're here, help us, Lord, to do your will in our Christian life. Win souls for you, Lord. That is one of our desires, and that's one of our wants. Lord, I pray that you just give us the opportunity
and help us to do so. When, and Lord, it could be just one more, and then you call us home. And when the last one is in, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is accepted time. Thank you for everything you do. And we pray for the one that's in the hospital or they carried this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll touch them. Be dear and near to Sister Taylor and all the others, Sister Shelby and Brother Donnie, and all the others. And Lord, I pray that your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.